sila or virtue is the source of spiritual peacefulness. Sila or virtue is the source of true spiritual wealth. And sila or virtue is the source of true spiritual peacefulness of mind. Therefore, let this sila or virtue be kept and purified. So if you read through this one with understanding, you will know the importance of precepts. Because as a cultivator, we need these three types of what they call a source of spiritual peacefulness of mind, spiritual wealth, and spiritual, the last one is spiritual, oh sorry, the first one is spiritual happiness, then spiritual wealth, then the last one is peacefulness of mind. So if you keep your precept, these three things will be with you. It is the source. When you have your precept, you will develop happiness because you didn't violate the nature's law, especially the law of karma. And because of that, your life will be more conducive. You will have more happiness in life compared to a heedless person who commits a lot of karmic negativity. Then when the karmic repercussion come or friction of the negative karma arise, they suffer a lot. So spiritual happiness is something very useful for our life. When we are happy, our mind become more peaceful. And you don't violate the precept, you will have more peace because a lot of negative things will not arise in you. People who break the precept, you know, they have a lot of problems. If you break the first precept of killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, lying, deceiving, partaking intoxicant, then followed by the 6, 7, and 8 precept. In fact, 6, 7, 8, not so serious one. It's to train the cultivator. But the first 5, very serious. So if you kill or harm fellow living being, you can get into trouble. Your enemy will come after you, or the police will come after you. Then not only that, karmic also will take its course. If you steal or take things that is not given, you will also have a lot of problems when people come to know. If it's the company or workplace that you work with, it is committing CBT. You know what is CBT? Criminal breach of trust. The company trusts you, but you steal. Then you commit sexual misconduct, of course, the consequence, you know, can be very serious. And people who do it are really having a lot of delusion and stupidity, because the whole family unity, the family love and peace, you're willing to destroy it through what? Through certain lapse of moments of desire, lust, but at the expense of your whole family, understand? When you commit that, it will lead to a lot of suffering between the spouse, the children, the parents, the in-law, people who have what they call relationship with you, take care for you, they love you. That's why they will also be affected. So all this, when you reflect, you realize you cannot be selfish. Yeah. So lying is also the same. Why you lie? Because you want to deceive, cheat, take advantage of situation. That's why you lie. Or you try to cover your wrongdoing. You lie. All this lead to selfishness, craving, desire. then you partake in toxicant, you will know. Your consciousness will be affected. Yeah. That's why you can never have the spiritual peacefulness of mind, spiritual well, and spiritual happiness. So when you don't have spiritual peacefulness of mind, how can you meditate? When you don't have joy, you ain't got time to go for meditation and training. Then if you don't keep your precept, normally to keep your precept, what do? You need to go to a temple or somewhere you can take the precept or renew the precept, or even like our activity, the Buddhist one, you take refuge, you chant your salutation to the Triple Gem. Then when you renew your precept at the temple activity, you will receive Dhamma, spiritual wealth. You will receive understanding. Then you got the opportunity to cultivate all the 10 meritorious actions. So this will give rise to spiritual wealth. You come to the temple, you make offering, dana, you keep your precept, sila. Both are meritorious actions. That's why dana, sila. Then you pay respect, reverential salutation. It's also a meritorious action. Then you meditate. It's also a meritorious action. You listen to Dhamma, straighten your view, share merit, rejoicing, transform merits. All these are meritorious action. Then you help out, provide service to the sasana. All these are meritorious action. Then you try to benefit others by sharing the Dhamma, the gift of truth, or help in the compilation and printing of real, true Dhamma books. All these are very wholesome. So the way the Buddha actually prepare all this is for cultivator to progress along the spiritual path. That's why I do not underestimate all this puja offering, all this chanting. Because some people may not have the understanding. They say, "Ayo, we come for retreat to meditate, to receive merits. to receive wisdom, to develop wisdom so that we can become enlightened." But the Buddha already told you, dana, sila, then only got bhavana. That's why spiritual wealth is very important. When you partake in spiritual activity or Dhamma activity, you get to do a lot of wholesomeness instead of indulging yourself in the heedless way of living life. You may call that happiness or joy or excitement and all things, but that leads mostly to temporary joy or happiness because that is more of the materialistic kind. It's nothing spiritual. Whereas the spiritual world can bring forth wisdom, understanding, and help you liberate your mind, be free from all suffering. So that is the big difference. Yeah? So hopefully you understand why the Buddha actually encouraged us to come for religious activity. You have your pre-puja, post-puja, then Dhamma session, and all the other activities which are very conducive. So do not underestimate all these puja offerings, all this chanting. The other thing is it gives you the faith. You feel good, the vibration, the chanting, everything is very conducive. Yeah. Then all this can pave the way for you to develop all the spiritual faculty. Every of this chanting remind you of the Dhamma, remind you of the things that you have to do, so that you will not deviate and go the wrong way. So retreat is not about full-time meditation. Otherwise, the Buddha will put there bhavana now. But why did he put sila, samadhi, panya, then dana, sila, bhavana? So you must understand all this is for the good of the cultivator of the way, so that the devotee, the monks, understand why you do all those things. All cultivation need to start with understanding. So now you understand why you keep precepts. It's out of love and compassion for you all. It's not that the Buddha is trying to make life difficult for you. When you understand, it's totally different. A lot of people in the initial stage, when they come to religious activity, when they realize there are so many precepts or what they call commandment to keep, some of them they will say, "Ayo, so ma fun. This one cannot, that one cannot." Cultivation is like that. Nothing is easy. When you start, you have to train yourself. Well, your old way is a heedless way. That's why you have to come and develop the understanding to train. Otherwise, like the Buddha said, your life, the choice is yours, yours. If you choose to be heedless, then continue. Dhammapada was one will take its course. Suffering will follow you. Like the hoof that follow the wheel of the cart. But if you see the danger of heedlessness, like what Sui yesterday asked that question, then you will determine not to be heedless. Then you will determine to train yourself to be heedful, to be ever mindful, constantly meditative, so that you will act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind, free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And then, happiness will follow you, like the shadow that never leaves you. And this is how you develop the understanding and progress. Love yourself, understand not? If you don't love yourself, then how can you love others? How can you live life? People who become heedless, they don't love themselves. They are so deluded that they think this is life. They enjoy life, understand not? By becoming more and more heedless, but they think that is what they want. So they go for all the vices. They drink. They go for late night. They indulge in a lot of things. And some gamble. Then do a lot of negative things. Like now, so many scams around on the sound. Because they think easy money. But then the karmic cash up, they regret. Then this life, those who kena scam also don't blame others. The Buddha say you reap what you sow. You are born of your karma, heir to your karma condition, supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. So what does that mean? Yeah? In the past, you must have scammed people before. That's how. And now there is condition for you to become the victim. Sometimes you ask yourself, how can I be so stupid and so dumb to fall into this? It's not to say why you are stupid and dumb. But the karmic consciousness, when it comes, you really become dumb and blurred. You cannot do anything. So when karmic conditioning, karmic consciousness comes, if you don't have the Dhamma understanding, you don't have stability of mindfulness and awareness, you cannot deal. In fact, in the teaching, Theravada teaching, is mentioned the only way to avoid, not to completely root out, avoid karma, is when you confront it, you have the wisdom to avoid it. That is the only way. Without wisdom, you cannot avoid. And I came to know how you can avoid. Karma is like that one. When the conditioning karma, when you confront it, you don't have the Dhamma and the wisdom, it will continue to torment you. Torment until you have enough, you learn, you give up, then it reverses. Otherwise, it continues. But if you have the Dhamma, the wisdom, I realize, the moment I confront it, I understand, it reverses everything. We are in 89, it came and test me after I received the Dhamma. My mother, my son. The moment I understand, everything reverses itself and went back to normal. So, develop this understanding, it can help you. Okay?